Joining us now is our friend Justin Adams. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV, and of course, catch him on CBS 4 in Denver. And Justin, looking at this Broncos situation, which is all over the place when it comes to an offseason, let's start away from the quarterback, something that you and I are at least have already set our expectations. If the Broncos can get Deshaun Watson, they have to do everything they can to get him. But on the other side of the ball, our senior writer for the Broncos, John Clayton, suggested that in Kareem Jackson's case, he could be a cap casualty. Are you surprised to hear that?
No, not really. When you look at the dead cap, it's only 1.8 mil. Doesn't surprise me at all. And let's call it what it is. If Deshaun Watson doesn't get over here, what's the reason why you keep Kareem Jackson? He'll be 33 years old next year. I'm sure he's a hard hitter. I know Pro Football Focus has him rated high and this, that, and the other. But when you look at the $10 million that you're going to spend, couldn't you spend that somewhere else? Couldn't you spend it at another position of need and get a draft pick or, you know, see what Will Parks can do? I know Will Parks more of a kind of a hybrid player, but that's something that you can use that money in other places. It would not surprise me if Kareem Jackson isn't around. Here's the only thing that the Broncos would miss, though, is they don't have that hard hitter in the secondary. And yeah, that would be an issue because Justin Simmons, that's really not his game. He's a very great, great player when it comes to being a ball hawk, but he's really not that hard of a hitter.
Yeah, he's more of a sure tackler, not really the guy that's an intimidator, and that there aren't as many as there used to be in the league, but Kareem Jackson is one of them. If Clayton's right, and if they decide to move on because of that low dead cap money and the idea that he's 33, does that mean, though, that Justin Simmons is staying? Do you think that money directly goes into Justin Simmons' pockets?
No, 100%. And so he gets to the point now where you look and say, what else could Justin Simmons have done? Except for be Troy Polamalu or Ed Reed. Like, honestly, what else could he have done? You're looking for somebody who's a Pro Bowl player. He's that. You're looking for somebody. And sorry about my son making some noise in the background.
That's all right. It's good to have your radio debut.
That's right. But you're looking for somebody who, right, does everything for you, right? So it goes from, okay, is he on the field? Well, the last 2 years, he hasn't missed a play. You're looking for somebody, like you say, well, can he get some interceptions, cause turnovers? Well, he led the team with five of them last year. So, and then you look at him in the community. Is he a great guy in the community? Well, he checks all of those boxes. You got to figure out a way how to take care of guys who do everything right on and off the field, or else it will hurt you when it comes down to free agency.
It is so interesting to get an idea of maybe losing one of your best players to sign one of your other best players, but that's life with a salary cap. And going to the other side of the ball, one of the more interesting things that the Broncos have to look at, because he's not a free agent, but do they want to look at what they're doing with Melvin Gordon? Now, Melvin Gordon got 2 years, $16 million. A lot of the running backs in this coming into this free agency period, not looking at that kind of money. A lot of existing running backs restructuring to get a little bit cheaper. We don't even know what's going to happen with Philip Lindsay. What do you see happening with Gordon and potentially with Lindsay? Will they both be back with the Broncos? Will it just be one? Will it be neither?
I would like for both of them to be back. I think anybody who's, you know, who loves the orange and blue would like to see both of those guys back, except for the fumbles. Melvin Gordon, come on, let's figure that out. Just you and I, man. We could have a conversation. We could have my son jumping on the couch in the background. Come on, man, let's figure out how not to fumble the football. Okay? But there is a way where, like you said, the Broncos could go and just walk up to Melvin Gordon and say, look, this cap number that you're going to have next year is too high. Let's restructure your deal and figure out a way how to lower that deal. Or we'll just let you go. That's one of the things that the Broncos could do. With Philip Lindsay, when you look at him, it was a frustrating season. And it's kind of been his MO in many respects, going from even when he went to the University of Colorado, how he had to fight and claw his way to be the starter, and then was overlooked because of his size, went undrafted, and then had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Oh, made it to a Pro Bowl his rookie year. And then the Broncos believed in him so much that they went and signed Melvin Gordon to a 2-year, $16 million deal. So the Broncos could put, you know, that second round tender on Philip Lindsay and see if any team would try to match that. But I don't know if Lindsay's going to be around next year. If it was me predicting, I would say Philip Lindsay would be in another uniform next year. I wouldn't want to see it, but if you were at this day, I would say Philip Lindsay would be in another uniform.
That would be a big move for Broncos fans. I mean, you're talking about such a popular player. But the truth of the matter is, as talented as Lindsay is, it doesn't seem like the Broncos entirely know what to do with them. And the size and the injury problems, those are a legitimate concern. I guess I could see him come back but it would have to be at a very team-friendly deal, because you're talking about guys that are restructuring. You know, Duke Johnson restructured out in Houston to 1 year, $6 million. He was on a $13 million a year deal. The franchise tag for running backs this year is roughly $8 million. That's what Melvin Gordon is getting now. So I'm with you. It's tough to think that the Broncos are going to go ahead and pay that, because, quite frankly, they don't have to. Or when you look at the last few years, and really it's the last decade of running backs, are you surprised at how consistently their value is dropping across the league?
I am a bit. I always hold, though, firm to what a scout told me. And I'm trying to think who this guy was. But I know he runs a site, draftcountdown.com. And, well, one of the things that I've overheard one of the scouts was telling me was, you never re-sign a running back to a second contract. And the main reason why you don't do so is because, well, you could get an undrafted guy. You could go and have somebody in the draft, and you know what their number is going to be, and they're going to do very well for the most part. If there's one position where somebody could literally walk from college to the pros, it's running back. I mean, you don't have to worry about the wear on their legs. The only thing that you have to concern yourself is, hey, will this individual know how to pass protect? Other than that, hey, man, let's see what this guy could do running in between the tackles and outside the tackles and go from there. So it is surprising me a little bit to the fact that from the standpoint of a financial, that the running back has been devalued. But when you go into the postseason, you see what Leonard Fournette did in the postseason and the four touchdowns that he had, right? And Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are not looking at a Super Bowl if they don't have him in the background, right? You got to make sure you have yourself a running back that when you get to the postseason, when you get to December and those type of games, you can run the football and control the clock.
We're talking with Justin Adams of CBS4. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. And let's go and switch back to the quarterback now. We've already talked about Deshaun Watson. You and I are basically saying, whatever, just give them the farm. Those guys are unicorns and you can't land them for anything. But let's say that doesn't work out. And the draft is coming up, and maybe Deshaun Watson and the Texans haven't gotten to the point where they're going to make a trade. If you're the Broncos, can you afford to wait, or do you need to be more aggressive in getting a quarterback, even if that means trading up a couple spots to get Justin Fields, knowing that that might stop you from getting Watson at all?
I would go and move up and then get Justin Fields. The question is do you want to go and essentially, and you never want to say waste a year, but let's call it what it is. If you bring back Drew Lock and you bring in an Andy Dalton to be, you know, the backup quarterback or somebody like that, then in many respects, you're kind of wasting a season, aren't you? Especially when you're looking to reevaluate Jerry Jeudy's of the world, Cortland Sutton coming off of a knee injury, right? What is KJ Hamler going to do with the full season again under this offense? You got to figure out, do you press the reset button and get yourself another quarterback, or do you go out and get Deshaun Watson? And those are the only two options that you have, because I would love to talk about Sam Darnold, and as the days go by, it looks like that might not happen. And so if you're not going to do that, and the worst thing you could do is to stand pat with Drew Lock and do absolutely nothing, then probably the best thing the Broncos can do, when you look at what they will have from a financial perspective, is go and get you Justin Fields, trade up with the Dolphins, and move on from there and make him your guy. And start over from there.
I do think there's an argument for that, because I don't think it even entirely precludes you from making a Deshaun Watson deal later, because it's quite possible someone like Fields would be a big part of that deal. Mm-hmm. Certainly more appealing part than Drew Lock. So I'm with you. I understand they need a cornerback, and I'd be very happy with either Patrick Surtain or Caleb Farley. But you have a rare opportunity to get a potential franchise quarterback. And look, they're all potential franchise quarterbacks. That includes Trevor Lawrence. You don't know yet. You know, that just doesn't work out that way. But next year's draft class is supposed to be a little bit subpar compared to this one. You have a guy in Fields, for example, that now he's maybe the third or even fourth quarterback in the pecking order, because people kind of go up and down with the way they feel about Zach Wilson or Trey Lance. But when you look at a guy like Fields, and the opportunity to get him might cost the equivalent of trading first-round picks, a third, and then next year's first. So really, it's just swapping spots. A first next year and a third to go get a guy that for the last year and a half was considered the second best quarterback in college. To me, that feels like a no-brainer too, because I think in Drew Lock's case, you can still see him being a good player. But Justin, let me read you this little bit from NFL.com. They ranked 59 quarterbacks, everyone who started a game. Drew Locke was 33. Obviously, there's 32 teams starting, so it tells you where they think. Here's what Tom Blair wrote on NFL.com. Quote, it's not exactly curtains yet for Locke, who could still have a shot to grow into a decent player, whether in Denver or down the road elsewhere. But it's also hard to imagine the Broncos can't find someone capable of bringing a higher floor and ceiling to the position in 2021. And it feels to me, Justin, as this is where we're at with Drew Locke. Drew Locke could still be a good NFL player. The idea that he could be a great NFL player, by now I think we would have seen the signs of that.
Yeah, we would have saw something that would have shown you that he would have been that guy, right? I think the only guy that I could think of offhand that didn't have a great start to his career and ended up being an MVP was Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon started his career with the Kansas City Chiefs in the late 90s, and then he gets to the 2000s with the Oakland Raiders, and you look at this guy now and he's an MVP. Unless if Drew Locke has that type of trajectory in his career, you got to make a move, especially if there's a quarterback right there. And then let's think about it again. What are you really giving up for an opportunity to get a Justin Fields? You give up your ninth pick, a third-round pick, and then next year's first-round pick. If he turns out to be anything, and I'm not trying to say he's going to be a Patrick Mahomes, but let's say if Justin Fields is a Justin Herbert, would you not take that?
Of course.
100% you would. And you wouldn't even look back at that, right? And then you could go and say, hey, let's make some trades. Let's be smart with what we do in the cap. And, oh, by the way, now we have a quarterback for the next 5 years that we don't have to pay, and now we could supplement all the rest of the positions that we're missing with free agents and with smart draft picks. Is it the reason why? That's why you hire George Payton in the first place, because he values draft picks. He needs to move up, get the quarterback now, and then you could do your value of the draft picks to do whatever you got to do to finagle the draft to get all the rest of the guys, because that's the way that you build up a program, especially now with the way that the NFL is with the salary cap.
Right, and that's exactly where I wanted to go, because let's look at a couple of the recent teams that have had success, right? Seattle Seahawks became successful when, turned out that Russell Wilson was a great quarterback, but he was on a rookie deal. Now that his big deal kicked in, it's become a little bit harder. When you look at the situation with the Chiefs, granted, Patrick Mahomes is what he is, and that team is really, really good, but it's going to get harder. The first couple of years without that big extension for Mahomes, you could build other places and build in other ways. So the most valuable thing in the NFL, quite frankly, is a starting caliber quarterback on a rookie contract. And if you don't have one, you need to try to get one. And every team has the opportunity to get one, because you're not always in the right draft position. You might not have the capital to trade, or you might not be in a position where you can afford to. Like you said, and I love this thing, Justin, why waste a year to find out if Drew Locke can be a mediocre starting quarterback? If you don't have the guy, you need to hunt for the guy. Go get one of those quarterbacks. And if it doesn't pan out, it doesn't pan out. But you have to keep reaching until you get one. Otherwise, this team just keeps spinning their wheels, right?
Right. And can I bring up one other thing, too? You think about your quarterback room. You have Justin Fields there. And, oh, by the way, you could still keep Drew Locke. You do realize that, right?
Right.
Or did that just skip my mind?
Yeah,
right?
You can still keep him.
Right. So now we're in the NFL where you know that for the most part, your starting quarterback is going to get injured at one point or another in the season. If you're looking at a backup quarterback, wouldn't you feel comfortable as a backup quarterback with saying, oh, Drew Locke is going to game now. Justin Fields is injured, or for whatever reason he can't get in. Here you go, Drew Locke, going to the game. Because isn't that what happened with the Broncos in the second game of the year?
Yep.
Drew Locke goes down, and now you have a backup quarterback goes in, and things went well for a little bit. And then the following week, you take on Tampa Bay, you get blown out the water. You got to make sure that you have that backup quarterback, which is another position that you don't have to pay money to. Now, again, you come back to supplementing the rest of your roster with draft picks and free agent signings to make sure that everybody is fine, because you don't spend all that money in that quarterback room. And here's one other thing, too, Sean, I want to bring up, because I think people are starting to have this paralysis by analysis. You hear all these guys talking about, we look at the tape and every scout comes out the woodwork who has an Instagram or a Twitter account talking about, well, Trey Lance, this is the reason why he's above him, and Zach Wilson, this is the reason why he's above. All I know this is when Justin Fields played in the college football semifinal game, he threw 6 touchdown passes. And a lot of those touchdown passes were on the dime, in stride, and it wasn't, oh, he had to slow down to catch the ball. Six touchdown passes against Clemson. I don't care who you're playing against. If you're able to do that in a national semifinal game, then guess what? You should be able to do something similar in the NFL as well. And the Broncos have the pieces to make sure that whoever is in at the quarterback position is going to do well. Your left tackle position is taken care of. Your wide receivers are taken care of. Your tight ends are taken care of. And running back position, we already talked about, you can find somebody off the street and be fine over there. What's the issue? Get you your quarterback and move on from there.
I love the idea that with Drew Lock, people treat it as an either or. Drew Lock doesn't go away if you end up drafting a quarterback. As a matter of fact, we have questions whether Drew Lock can be an effective starter. Drew Lock would immediately become one of the better backups in the league. Immediately. And he has 2 years left on his deal for basically a combined $4 million. The Broncos cap hit, he's not going to be around, but the Broncos cap hit for Jeff Driskel in 2021 is $3.2 million. All of a sudden, you add a Fields and you have Lock as a backup, you actually have a very interesting quarterback room and maybe one of the more affordable ones in the league, and you don't have to make a decision. If Fields sort of isn't ready to go, Lock makes a big leap forward, you're covered. The idea of having both in the room at the same time when you're talking about drafting one of those top quarterbacks, it's amazing how people think it's an either-or. It doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't. And we saw this before, even with Josh Rosen, where after his rookie season, he was traded. Well, guess what? If it doesn't work out with Justin Fields, then you could trade him too. I mean, there's so many different things that you can do at the quarterback position. It's not like it used to be 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where you draft your quarterback and you're pretty much stuck with him for the next 4 to 5 years trying to figure out if he's going to be the guy. Now's the days where after a year, you can find out if he's going to be a guy. Or after 2 years, you can say, hey, you know what? This is not working out well. Let's go and get somebody else. It's all about can you go and find the right guy at a low cost so that your team can be better immediately. Because I'll tell you this, if Justin Fields does well as your quarterback, you don't have a lot of questions about, okay, are we going to do something with Von Miller? Can we bring him back at $17.5 million? Or we've got to worry about Justin Simmons and what contract he's going to have. Now you're able to sign several different guys to go and get you right there. And now you can compete with the Kansas City Chiefs of the world. Now you could get yourself back in the postseason.
He is Justin Adams. Follow him on Twitter, Justin Adams TV. And, of course, catch him at CBS4 in Denver. Always good to talk to you, my friend. And it will be interesting to see where they go because the Broncos have options at this quarterback position. Thanks for explaining it in that way. It's good to talk to you.
Always great to talk to you as well, Sean. And don't forget, go Buffs, baby. We're going to be locked into the NCAA tournament, my man. Let's get it going.
Thanks, Justin. Have a good night.
You as well, my friend. Take care.
Number five seed. That's the expectation for the Buffs right now. The Colorado Avalanche get a win over the San Jose Sharks, but it might be a very costly one. Talk about the game and the injury to Nathan MacKinnon with Adrian Dana, our Avs insider, next.